The commercial fishing industry has seen incredible changes in technology, especially with regard to navigation. Woody Bowers began fishing in the 1930s.
You take those old vessels there, they usually had a cat or a dog on board them. Usually, I tell you what the dog was mostly for. You know, those times, you never knew what a radar was or a RAN or a sounding machine or anything like that. But the vessel was laying anchored in the fog, and you'd hear a dog barking. Especially if you was on the lee side, you could hear that dog bark for maybe 2 miles. You knew there was another vessel in the vicinity.
Louis Doucette, who began his career dory fishing off the Grand Banks, recalls the many fishermen who lost their lives because they couldn't find their way back to the big ship after a storm came up.
Now, when they went, they stretched them dories out. They fished from the little dory, not from the big ship. They were stretched out 5 or 6 miles. A lot of men was lost in them boats because when a storm would come up, all they had a horn to blow a horn, a mouth horn. And a snowstorm would come or something. A lot of them never made the big ship. Some of them were picked up by other ships on the, you know, that was fishing with them. But a good many men was lost from them boats. The story went in Gloucester that there was more men lost dory fishing way back in the 1800s than was lost in World War I.
Retired fisherman Donald Clattenburg still marvels at the skills of his uncle, who could navigate through the Cape Cod fog with only a sounding machine.
My uncle, he was skipper of a boat, the two brothers, and he couldn't read or write. Thicker fog behind the cape, he'd come up through the slough and anchor behind the point with no radar, just by the sounding machine. And he couldn't read or write. Now, isn't that something? No one in the bottom, the chart. He said, Donnie, when the fog clears up, we're going to be right behind Nantucket Point. Sure enough, we were.
At that time, when I started fishing, you had something they called LORAN, which means long-range navigation systems. That was something that was made for the bombers during the war, so they could go over and bomb Germany. They put up LORAN towers on the English coast so that the bombers could follow the LORAN lines in to find the places they wanted to drop their bomb. You know, and after the war, they came into the commercial market.
Radar Bendixson, gear manufacturer and retired fisherman.
The unit that I was using there was mostly what they call a double unit. It was two boxes, big boxes that you had to switch on, and you had to read the lines and fumble around, read them manually, you know, and count all the little lines and stuff like that to find out exactly where you were. Because then you went to the chart, and you got the cross bearing on it, and you knew where you were. Today, they turn on a switch, and here comes the number. Anything you want, longitude, latitude, low on bearings, whatever you want, and you can leave it there all the time.
Paul Swain, a retired fisherman, agrees.
Well, the one thing about a fisherman now, he's got the advantages of electronics, which they never had back in the old days. Yeah. They had nothing. I remember when I tried fishing in 56 after I got out of the service, and somebody said, you going on that boat? You got a radar. Well, Christ, you go down there, now they got two radars, two Lorans, they got everything. They even got a little thing, disc they put in there, a cassette, take the boat out for you. You don't even have to, some of the boats don't even have a steering wheel anymore. It's all automated.
Voices from the Port is produced by the Working Waterfront Festival with funding from the Massachusetts Foundation for the Humanities. To learn more about the commercial fishing industry, visit New Bedford, America's number one port.